wonder if we could just look at the strength of this is in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's very interesting that the Lord, when He spoke in Matthew 16, He said that Peter's confession was, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord says, upon this rock, not Peter, but the confession, the truth that Peter confessed, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon that truth of who He is, the whole church would be built. And I find it very wonderful that in every aspect we see the name of the Lord Jesus emphasized. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, "And to all and which in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." In chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, when they were coming together for a meeting of discipline, we find it there when Paul's speaking, he says, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together." So there, it's so important. This is so important. And so what does this mean in Matthew 18? "Where two or three are gathered together unto my name." It's not just saying, well, yeah, we're Christians and we all believe in Jesus Christ. That's not what it's really saying. Isn't it really bringing in, as we understand the truth of the one body, the grounds that John mentioned, His authority and His headship in regard to this? All those who come together are acknowledging this authority. That it's not our authority. It's not a bunch of brothers that happen to agree together. Well, you can find that in the world. But we come together dependent upon our head. And it's His authority. It's His thoughts. It's His mind is what we seek. Whether it's discipline, I think Matthew 18 has discipline and prayer. You know, you see that aspect. And we see His authority, His headship as the center of it all. And without that, I think everything falls apart if that's removed. So we really need to realize this in our own souls. That when we come together, we are coming together unto the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
It's important to analyze that verse a bit in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where, that would suggest the place. It doesn't matter where the place is. It could be Boston, Los Angeles, Pennsylvania. It doesn't matter where. Two or three are gathered together. Two or three. Earlier in the chapter, there was an issue. And he says, two or three shall be used as the basis of making a decision. And that is not arbitrary. That comes out of the Old Testament. Because it took two or three witnesses for a truth to be established. And so in order to make a decision, two or three were required to make a decision. So where two or three are gathered together. Now that is in the passive voice. Now we have children who are going to school and they're beginning to study grammar. We cannot dumb down, brethren. We cannot take the truth of God and grammar and English and just say, well, it's for the past. It's very important to understand words. We have a teacher here, he can corroborate that. That words are very important. Understanding what the relationships between words are important in studying the Bible. The passive voice means that the action is by another. The main verb is acted upon. And so we find that where two or three are having been gathered together. And so these persons are gathered by somebody else. They're not gathering themselves. It is the Lord Jesus who gathers us together unto Himself. It's passive. And so it says, where two or three are having been gathered together unto my name, and the name is the authority, there am I in the midst thereof. Not physically, but in a spiritual sense, the Lord is with us, and He gives His authority to the company. And that is what is so different in the religious world. Not to be unkind, but the authority is in a pastor. The authority is in a bishop. The authority is in a pope. The authority is in a priest. But brethren, our authority is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our pastor. He is our great shepherd. And we look to Him and to Him alone. Where two or three are gathered together unto my name. And the word unto, the King James, I know it says in. But that is relative. And you could say that in or at, But really the thought is unto, representing authority. Gathered unto my name, there am I in the midst. The authority is that of Christ.
There's a verse in John 14, 18 that might help us. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 18. The Lord Jesus is speaking. It's not the Holy Spirit. We have that verse before that. John 14, 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I am coming to you. It's not conditional. Where two or three are gathered, he comes. We sense his presence. At one time I thought it was conditional. No, it's not conditional. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I am coming to you. He keeps on coming to us. So how good. Don't take him for granted, however, until you recognize his presence when he's there. So how good he does come. We realize it in the power of the Spirit, of course. Right. But notice Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 7, just to link that with that verse. Jeremiah 16. Book of Jeremiah. Chapter 16, verse 7. Linking with John 14, 18. Neither shall men break bread for them in mourning. Your Bible says tear themselves. They are alternate reading is break bread for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them a cup of consolation to drink for their father, for their mother. That was a custom in Israel. If a father or mother died, they broke bread. They took the cup of consolation. The Lord Jesus says in John 14, your mother and father may die and leave you, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I am coming to you. And he does. He delights to be there. He delights to be where his people are gathered. Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. John 14, 18, I'll not leave you comfortless as a bunch of orphans. No, I am coming to you. The you doesn't mean individual Christians, plural. He comes to the Christian company.
We ask ourselves whether we mean to suggest that those who meet in a certain way as Christians can count on this promise, and any other Christians who perhaps meet differently cannot count on this promise. I'm a little hesitant to make that leap automatically, that every group of Christians who meets in one way can claim this promise, whereas and every other group who doesn't meet and who does meet in a different way, that they cannot. As if we could imagine other Christians reading this verse and say, "Now we wish we could get to this point, but it's really other Christians who meet in a certain way. They get to enjoy that, and maybe someday we'll get to enjoy it too." I'm not sure that we want to suggest that. We certainly want to respond to the understanding of the scriptures that is presented to us. I'm not sure that. This is a suggestion. Perhaps it's something to discuss. I'm not sure that we would mean to say that if there is an appointed pastor, for example, that automatically every person who goes to hear a Bible message from an appointed pastor is not able to say the Lord is there.
We're not saying that, I don't believe. I wouldn't want to say that. Because there are other groups of Christians, they claim the same verses that we claim. There are other groups of brethren.
But allow me to say...